Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini, episode number 318. It's NFL Week 5 on the show, as always. I, Rick Morris, joined by my fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, Kyle Ross. We are here. We are enthused about this slate of games, or at least enthused to have fun talking about it. But rough sledding for both of us. Way more so for me, than which is to be expected, but Kyle's not happy at the outset either, but we got to start getting a turnaround, buddy. Me more than you, but both of us to be sure.
Hey, I feel like I've won all the games compared to you. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I'm one game under 500, but heck, compared to you, oof. I mean, I'm breaking the bank compared to that. I mean, it's been a tough first 4 weeks, and look no much further. I mean, I don't mean to pick on you, but this week we're going to help you. We're going to help you. I will exhume the disease of road favorite Ricky from your soul this week. By the end of this 45 minutes, you will no longer want to bet road favorites anymore. At least I hope, because road favorites, while they don't always lose, they usually do, and. It's just not the way to go over time, I believe.
Yeah, but it can't be blamed on that alone. This is it's the worst streak of my life. 0-12 thus far, obviously 0-4 on my quote-unquote lock plays. And in looking at it here, it's a thing where FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, doing a little bit of research on this, it is 1 in 16,000 that anyone would open the season as I have at the 0-12. Last week, 5-9-1 on all of the plays, 0-3, obviously 0-1, 22-36-5 for the season, 0-12, 0-4. You, Kyle, 2-2 last week, so 6-7 for the season on your recommended plays. So,
yeah.
Again, right at the mark of profitability.
Yeah, well, hopefully we just need one big week, and we can get over that Mendoza line and then go from there. I'll say this, two things. At the beginning of the year, we did obviously the division-by-division previews, and like most people who did such things, they identified all the bad teams were going to be in the AFC this year. And I think that's kind of where, you know, at least I've been surprised in that, other than Jacksonville and probably Oakland, maybe Pittsburgh, although I still don't classify Pittsburgh with those two teams. There just aren't a lot of bad teams. Obviously, Jacksonville could be historically bad this year, but other than them, there's just not a lot of just terrible teams that you can bank on to lose week to week. And, you know, I mean, this league is more parity-ridden than I think we thought. And the AFC is better than the NFC, which I never would have expected before the year.
Yeah, they've been marginally better. If you look at our power rankings for the FDH Lounge, same place you can find the show, the FDH Lounge Multi-Magazine, thefdhlounge.blogspot.com, week to week. Yeah, the AFC a little bit better than the NFC at this point. Again, everybody's pretty much getting brutalized, so I feel like I'm in good company, but obviously want to get off the schneid. As per usual, not really going to dwell on the Thursday game because odds are by the time you're hearing this, the game has come and gone. You can always check out the FDH Lounge pick at the FDH Lounge Twitter account, at the FDH Lounge. It's the Browns laying 4 to Buffalo at home on Thursday night, up from 3 at the open. I'm just looking at it. E.J. Manuel on the road against a defense that has been really, really tough in a secondary that even really kind of played over its head last week. Liking my Brownies laying the 4.
You know, in retrospect, was there a bigger waste of 45 minutes of airtime in the history of airtime than that mini episode we did railing on the Browns' new regime?
It was 80, but I was counting.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's right. I'm stuck in with the 45. You're right. It was even longer. So good. Oh my goodness. But you know, it's really been remarkable. And I'm not ready to hail the regime as any kind of geniuses just yet. All we've really learned in the 2 weeks in the aftermath of the Richardson trade is that there's no difference between Brian Hoyer and Brandon Whedon. And in fact, Brian Hoyer is probably better than Brandon Whedon.
Yes.
That's all we've learned. You know, the Browns have taken advantage of a couple banged up secondaries so far with Minnesota and Cincinnati. They get another one this week at Buffalo. Buffalo's got some injuries in their secondary. You talk about E.J. Manuel on the road. The Bills only played one road game this far, and it was by far their worst game of the season, and only against the Jets, another team who I think nationally has the perception of being very bad, like the Browns did coming into the year, but also has a very good defense, like the Browns do. I would tend to agree with you, the Browns. I'm not going to recommend it. Cleveland not favored that often. They did cover twice during a three-game win streak last year when they were favored. I believe it was against Kansas City and Oakland towards the end of last season. So there certainly is precedent for them to cover. The city will certainly be fired up for a rare nationally televised home game. If you're going to play this one, I might say look at the Browns in the first half. Their defense has only given up one touchdown in the first half all year. Or maybe it's two. I think it was two against Minnesota. But still, they've only given up a touchdown in one game in the first half this year. So you may want to look at this first half. Get a little exotic here at the start of the program, Ricky.
Might as well, yeah. And I'm sure we'll have some exotic notes for people as we go along. Segueing next, coincidentally, to the other team that I root for, my 1A team, the Miami Dolphins at home, laying 3 to Baltimore. Line opened at 3.5. And in looking at this one here, it was really kind of tough. I picked Baltimore last week. They were one of my big three plays that kind of got farted on. You would look for it to be a bounce-back scenario. Then again, it's a short week for the Dolphins, but at home. I keep coming back to that. Baltimore, with their inconsistencies, I don't see them being able to go on the road and beat a Miami team at home. I'll liken this to what Miami did to Atlanta a couple weeks ago. Miami's just got that extra gear at home, and outside of the New Orleans game, they haven't been that bad on the road either. I'll take the Dolphins.
The number is perfect here, 3. You know, basically, oddsmakers viewing these teams as even. The Dolphins, I wouldn't read too much into them getting blown out at New Orleans. I think that's going to happen to most teams that go to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome this year. But at the same time, they are on a short week. The Ravens are off the outright loss that you mentioned at Buffalo last week. By the way, it's so interesting when you look at roster construction in this league where – with Seattle and San Francisco, people are like, how do these two teams get all these good players to come? It's like, well, they're not paying their quarterback very much money. I think I read somewhere that Peyton Manning will make more per game than Russell Wilson does for the entire year. So obviously, Seattle's got a lot of money. I mean, he only makes $500,000 a year. I mean, I say only. I mean, you know, I'd take that contract any day of the week. But, you know, obviously, with Wilson only making that amount, they have money to spend elsewhere. That's why their defense is so good. That's why they were able to get Percy Harvin. I know he's not going to play for a while. I bring this up not just to, you know, talk about what I've read this week, but because when you look at Baltimore, Flacco deserved to get paid off the Super Bowl win last year, but they had to let a lot of important pieces go, namely Anquan Boldin, and that hurts, and that's why a lot of people, myself included, picked Baltimore to regress a little bit this year. I'm passing on this game. The number is – it's a good number. I don't like short road underdogs like Baltimore is here, so not interested. I'm interested to see how Miami bounces back, though. If they can come back and win this game, they could be for a for-real playoff team. I think more people, you know, are kind of banking on Baltimore long-term as opposed to the Dolphins, but I'm not so sure about that.
This could be a critical game in the tiebreaker, no question about it. You can't necessarily say the same thing for the teams in the next game, not least of which because it's an interconference game, but neither team looks like they're going to be right there at the end anyways. The St. Louis Rams at home laying 12. It opened at 12.5 to the Jaguars. Again, there have been a couple different points in time this season, Kyle, where we've looked at it and thought, okay, the Jags have got to at least get close enough to backdoor one. We were wrong last week on this. I'm gonna keep going on this at least one more week because I'm looking at it. This is the inverse of a couple of weeks ago of my gut instinct on the San Francisco Indianapolis thing, which was the anti-Vegas way to go, but would have been the right bet of, hey, don't you have to really suck to be getting double digits on the road? We knew the Colts didn't suck. Don't you have to be at least halfway decent to be laying double digits at home? And the Rams are not showing any evidence of that right now. I'm saying take the 12 and the Jaguars.
if I can put my Captain Obvious hat on here for a second, there are two sides in every football game. Okay, there you go. There's some old John Madden analysis there. All right, it sounds like a Magic Johnson tweet, actually, to be honest with you. There are two sides in every game. But so taking a look at the two here, you've got Jacksonville, who for me is now unbackable. Look, two of my losses this year have come on the Jaguars. There's nothing more embarrassing for me than when I have to tell people, I'm like, yeah. People are like, oh, how'd you do today? I'm like, well, you know, I took a loss with the Jags. And people are like, what are you doing betting the Jags? I'm like, well, you know, at the time it seemed like a good idea. But then you see Blaine Gabbert play and you realize that you have no chance. So Jacksonville for me is now unbackable. By the way, have you heard about the rumored point spread for next week against Denver?
No. What would it be? 21?
I'm sorry?
21?
What was your guess?
21?
It will be reportedly, and this is according to those who know these kind of things, a all-time NFL record 28 points.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Nope. That speaks volumes. I mean, Grant, look, Denver, we'll talk about them later. They're just shredding people, and that's a clear best team in the league versus worst team in the league thing. So, I mean, that just puts in perspective how bad Jacksonville is. So I'm not taking them plus any points. You mentioned, though, St. Louis. I mean, look, we kind of had differing opinions on this team before the year. You liked them more than I did. I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, pat myself on the back or anything. But, look, I got to watch them up close for the first time, really, since Jeff Fisher's been the coach last Thursday. I'm sorry. I think it's time to move on from Sam Bradford. We talked about roster construction. They're paying him way too much money. Remember, he was the last number one draft choice before the current rookie wage scale came into play. So they're paying him way too much money. I know they've got a good defense, but they have nothing at the skill positions whatsoever. I mean, the only way the Rams cover this is if they shut Jacksonville out, which is a possibility. But, man, I just don't like – this Rams offense is awful. I know it's been a bad week for Bernie Kosar, but at least he said something right when he said this Rams offense stinks, because it does. So I'm laying off. There's no way I can bet Jacksonville. No way I would lay double digits with St. Louis. I'll say this. If you're looking for a survivor pool play this week, one of those eliminator things, I'd recommend the Rams there, because I do see them, you know, winning straight up with the extra preparation time.
Absolutely. And the Rams have a chance to get healthy with the running game to a certain degree, 164.3 yards given up a game by the Jaguars. But in the passing game,
yeah, but they can't run the ball. They can't run the ball, Ricky.
They can't. They have trouble running the ball.
Did you watch that game against San Francisco? It honestly looked like I was the running back. Like, you know, you just run in the line and get tackled. I mean, they were
right,
brilliant.
But my point was the flip side of that, 222.8 in the air. Jacksonville was not horrible in the pass defense. So they could kind of dumb it down enough to make it like a 16-9 kind of battle that they could hang in. So, and by the way,
my condolences if you get stuck watching this game at the 1 o'clock window. Go to the local watering hole that has DirecTV. Dear God, don't watch this game.
Because there's going to be much better games on, including this next one here. How's that for a segue? The 4-0 Patriots at the 2-2 Bengals. Very possibly a playoff preview. Coming up here on CBS at 1 o'clock Eastern time Sunday. Very interesting line moves here. It opened at the Bengals, who are at home, laying a point and a half. It has gone to the Bengals now getting a point. My sense in looking at it, you've coached me a little bit on how to read the smart money. My sense is that the smart money got on the Patriots. I'm going to follow them. I picked against them last week with Atlanta. I thought they were due to go down. But it looks like they're starting to right the ship with the passing game, however belatedly here. And again, their record is entirely undeserved at 4-0, but that doesn't really matter. They have a decent chance to go 5-0, and I like them to do this. I don't think they'll even need the point at Cincinnati.
Very disappointed in the Bengals losing last week at Cleveland. I was someone who was very high on the Bengals coming into the year. I said that this team could go 11-5, 12-4. It was a pleasant surprise to see them overcome all the turnovers at home the week previous and beat Green Bay, and then they just came out and laid an egg here in Cleveland. And I'll say this. This is not a pro ESPN take. It's none of that. Denver and New England are just clearly better than Cincinnati and Houston. It's a varsity, junior varsity kind of thing, and it's all about the quarterback position. man. I'll slam Matt Schaub later on in the program. But it is so obvious with Cincinnati that Andy Dalton's the weak link. I mean, they're just loaded everywhere else, and he's just not that good. And that's why Cincinnati is going to be in that Houston or even like Atlanta territory in the NFC where it's like, okay, they'll make the playoffs, but they're not a Super Bowl team with this quarterback. And I mean, Atlanta's got a better quarterback with Matt Ryan than either Schaub or Dalton. But still, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a team that has a ceiling, and that ceiling is not the Super Bowl. I still like Cincinnati to win a weak AFC North, I think, just because I'm not buying Cleveland over the long term. Pittsburgh's done, and I just like Cincinnati over Baltimore this year. So it's basically a two-horse race. Now, all that
I
being
agree
said,
with all that.
Yeah, now, so that being said, I'm taking Cincinnati this weekend over New England as one of my three recommended plays. I think New England's due to lose. Okay, that's the usual thing. I think, look, New England is a pretty shaky 4-0. You know, I was you talk about teams I was disappointed in, the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons at home against New England, can't get it done. I'll rip on Mike Smith later, too. But, you know, that was a game that, you know, Atlanta was one of my recommended plays last week. Before that, New England, I don't know. Brady, give him the nod. You know, everyone's talking about Peyton Manning, but he's got a lot of good weapons. Tom Brady has nothing, and he's got this team unbeaten. I just think that, you know, at this time last year, I think there were only 3 4-0 teams. This year we have 5. So some of these unbeaten teams have to lose, start losing. And this is a big game for Cincinnati. It's a regular season game, not a playoff game. It was a playoff game, trust me. I'm all on New England. But it's a regular season game where Cincinnati's really got to circle the wagons. They're at home. And, you know, the loss of Will Fork is going to be really tough for the Patriots. So
yeah.
The Bengals are my first of 3 recommended plays this week.
Interesting. Up next is a potential Super Bowl preview. Very, very funny how Seattle, notwithstanding being 1 or 2 in just about everybody's power rankings in the league, still can't get any respect as far as the networks are concerned. This week they're at Indianapolis, so the 4-0 Seahawks, 3-1 Colts. Kevin Burkhardt, John Lynch, Aaron Andrews on the call. Where's my boy Kenny Albert, 4-time lounge guest at the very least? The Fox has got like a 4 or 5 team on this game, not showing it any kind of respect whatsoever. Seahawks laying a field goal on the road, and again, sort of like New England. It looked like a situation last week where they're going into a tough atmosphere. This could be where they come up short. Houston ends up coughing it right back up to them, or Matt Schaub specifically. As was the case with New England, though, where I'm picking them again this week, I think coming off of that near miss, I look for Seattle to persevere on the road. My biggest reasoning here, and maybe it's not the greatest reasoning for making a pick in a game, is I just don't think we were that wrong about the Colts. Colts get the 4-1, and we got to start saying, hey, throw the Pythagorean stuff out the window. The Colts are a lot better than we thought they were. I still think they're going to regress to being about a 500 team, still maybe 9-7, but about a 500 team. And it gets harder to make that case if they go to 4-1. So I'm going to say we were right about the Seahawks. We were right about the Colts taking the Seahawks.
I love where you went with that, because that's the kind of the way I look at this game too, that if the Colts win all of a sudden, I mean, that wins over both the 49ers and Seahawks. You know, Seattle obviously much stronger at home than on the road. But, you know, you mentioned they're 1 or 2 in everybody's power rankings coming into this week. Indianapolis went to San Francisco and dominated the 49ers. So you're right. If the Colts win here, we would have to start looking at them in a whole different way. And it's really obvious that Andrew Luck on his own is enough to – and we talked about that before the year, that the only argument really for the Colts not to regress was Andrew Luck's great now. All the numbers – indicated that there would be a decrease in victories this year, but they had Andrew Luck, who, to be honest with you, behind the obvious top foursome of Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze, is probably the 5th best quarterback in the league at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? I mean, is there someone I'm missing?
Yeah.
I mean, is there someone I'm missing?
I would agree.
I mean, if you're a general manager, outside of those four, there's no one in the league you'd take over Luck at this point. I mean, even Russell Wilson, who I love, and I know you're a big fan of, and you know most people have really come to admire his work. But I can't go against this. I don't want to take the points here against the Seahawks just because it's a short number and I can't see the Colts winning. That's what it boils down to. I mean, I can't lay the – I mean, look, they're me and road favorites. I won one with Washington last week, but I don't like taking them. So it goes back to the old, the old Magic Johnson. Hey, there's two sides to this game, and I don't like either of them. So I'm passing.
Okay.
Right here. I think like the Houston game, it's going to be basically about a field goal game, but Seattle comes out on top.
That's what I see as well. I referenced that I thought that that game was worthy of having Kenny Albert and at least the B team from Fox on it. Where they're at is the next game that we're talking about here. The 3-1 Lions at the 1-2 Packers. And Kenny Albert, Darryl Moose Johnston, and Tony Siragusa roaming the sidelines as he is wont to do. And again, the Packers are laying 7 in this one. It opened at 6.5. In a sense, it seems a little bit kind of odd just because of the way that both teams have opened the season, albeit the Packers are coming off the week of rest. A lot of times that tends to get a lot of extra slack from the wise guys. I'm looking at this here again. I was wrong about the Lions last week, thought that Chicago could go in and beat them. I just don't see them doing it again, though. I grant you that game was at home for the Lions. This one's on the road. But, again, while my initial sense was that the line was out of whack based on how they've played thus far this year, I'm going with Green Bay at home. I think they're going to be impossible to stop in this game on Sunday. I'm laying the 7.
I mean, this almost became a recommended play for me. Almost. The 6.5s are pretty much all gone at this point. So, if you could have got an inside one score, I mean, I know it's a half point, but – when you're talking about 6.5 and 7, that can be all the difference in the world between a cover and a push. Green Bay, you talk about the bye. They're also off the very painful loss to Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. This is must-win territory for them at 1-2. But don't put a lot of stock into that record. Their two losses were both back-and-forth games on the road against Chicago and Cincinnati, two teams who I think are going in the playoffs. So Green Bay has to win this game. I think they will. I'm just a little leery about laying that number.
Okay.
Detroit was a team that I would say behind New Orleans and Kansas City would have been, those have been like that was my most improved list coming into the year, the top three. Detroit would have been number 3 behind, Kansas City was number 1 and New Orleans was number 2. Detroit was 3, and it looks like all three of those teams are going to be as improved as advertised. Detroit, their offense looks great. I mean, Reggie Bush, I thought that was a great signing for them, and it has been. I mean, this team can put a lot of points on the board, and when you have a high-scoring underdog, you don't really want to give them an additional 7. So that's why this didn't quite make my recommended cut, but I do expect Green Bay to win the game.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm going with Green Bay.
I mean, they have to. I mean, they can't fall.
Yeah.
It's funny, with the way the NFC is shaking out, the Saints are running away with the South. The East is going to be a complete disaster and will send only one team to the playoffs. You're going to have the Seahawks and Niners out West. That leaves the North, I think, to send two playoff teams that will probably play against each other in the wild card round. So,
right.
Green Bay doesn't want to fall too far back here. And by the way, Detroit
right.
has like not won in Green Bay since Barry Sanders was playing, and like early in Barry Sanders' career.
Yeah. Well, it ain't going to happen this week. I think we know that. You talk about the NFC North, you talk about playoff teams in the mix, that's got to include, notwithstanding what happened last week, the Bears, 3-1 at home, hosting the 4-0 Saints. Fox has the A-team of Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call for this one here. Real crazy line on this one here. Opened as a pick'em. It went subsequently. It fluctuated back and forth here. It now is the case where the Saints are laying a point in this one. Again, in trying to follow and trying to decipher the smart money, and I might be coming up with it on this one here, but as I've done with the other 4-0 teams, I'm staying on the Saints this week. I think it's going to be very difficult. They're not obviously the same team on the road that they are at home. I think there's maybe a little bit less disparity with them than there is with Seattle, because I think they can impose that style of play on the road. And I just think the Bears are going to have a tough time matching up with them. I know that the Saints are due to lose. I know that it's a short week. Still like the Saints in this one.
See, and by the way, you talk about the crazy line. Yeah, depending on the books, I'm looking at all of the major books here on my screen, and you can get this game at a pick 'em. You can get the Saints minus one. You can get the Saints plus one. You can get either team plus one here. So, you know, if you have multiple accounts, I'd really recommend doing some line shopping on this one, depending who you like. And I'll be honest, I'm going to shock you. I like the Bears here. They're my second of three recommended plays. I'm looking at these 4-0 teams in a different light than you, obviously, Ricky. I just think they have to drop a game. And the Saints are on a short week. You mentioned, you talked about the short week, but they're on the road, too. Where, you know, like Seattle, they're not as good. Chicago's off the loss. They'll be angry. Obviously, we're just turning to October. It's not going to be too cold. But still, the Bears are a very good team. I know that, you know, for three quarters, they looked pretty bad against the Lions. But I think they bounce back here and knock the Saints from the ranks, the unbeaten. New Orleans was a recommended play last week. They have been every bit as good as I thought they would be with Sean Payton back on the sidelines. I noticed you conveniently did not say anything nice about Rob Ryan's defense again. But this week, I think maybe they give up some points to a Chicago Bears offense that can match them. I think Jay Cutler, not last week notwithstanding, is really fit in nicely with this Mark Trestman offense. The Bears, my second of three recommended plays this week. Try to get them plus one if you can, just in case there's that tie, I suppose. But I do believe the Bears win this game.
And if they're plus one at the moment, we move now to a game with one victory among the competitors combined, the 1-3 Eagles at the 0-4 Giants. And when I talked before about I couldn't understand why there was a lower announcing crew on the Seattle-Indianapolis game, talk about the power of hype. Since it's the NFC East, Fox has the number three team on this game for whatever reason. Tom Brennan and Brian Billick and the lovely Tandoora Oakman facing the sidelines here. The Giants are laying 2.5, had been 3. Again, sort of the inverse of what you said about the 4-0s. It's got to flip at some point here. And I think it will. The Giants have a team that, again, you know, you look at what Philadelphia can do imposing their offensive will, and the Giants are going to have to keep up, and they're going to have to protect the quarterback a little bit better in terms of doing that. But they can't just keep getting their doors blown off. They're still only two games out in the worst division in football. It's a must-win game for the Giants, but by must-win, I mean it ain't over yet because, like I said, they're only two back. Again, and more of a must-win game than it is for Philly, who's still only a game off the pace, incredibly. I'll take the Giants in an absolute desperation game Sunday.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I suppose, shame on me again. I'm going with the Giants as my third recommended play this week, laying the 2.5 at home, 2.5 key number. Obviously, it's under 3, so you get a field goal victory, you get the cup, you get the check here. The Giants have to win, don't they? I mean, the last 2 weeks, they have looked as putrid as any team not named the Jacksonville Jaguars in the league. But I just have to believe. They're also 0-4 against the number this year, too. So forget about winning. They're just due to cover, and they're favored. The bloom is definitely coming off the Chip Kelly Rose, although I think that's unfair to him. He's got a bad defense, and Mike Vick, in all due respect, I don't think smart enough to run his offense properly. Ooh, look out there. And I root for Mike Vick a little bit. But I just think at home, the Giants have them. This could be a wild game. You're talking about the defenses that have given up the two most points, the highest point totals in the league so far. As a matter of fact, three of the highest 5 points allowed in terms of defense are in this division. Oh, Dallas is the only team that's not in that group. Washington's right down there with them. The NFC East could be headed for NFC West territory, circa that 1 year when Seattle won with a 7-9 record. It's not going to take many wins to win this division this year because this is a bad, bad group. But
true.
The Giants have to win, so they're my third of three recommended plays this week.
All right. I've still got my three recommended plays to go, plus three more leading up to that. I'd say we're a little behind on the pacing here, so I'm going to keep my remarks brief and kind of get out of the way for you on the next couple of them. Carolina, 1-2 at Arizona, 2-2. Carolina laying 2.5. It's been pretty much consistent going through on this one. this is reasoning that has gotten me in trouble repeatedly during the course of the year, but Carolina, even coming off a bye week, I don't think good enough to go in and win a game like this on the road, even though I don't really have any respect at all for Arizona. I just don't see Carolina being able to travel cross-country and get it done. I'll say take the 2.5 in the Cardinals.
I have little to say on this game. Arizona is a team that I think is just going to be better than we thought they were. They had no business winning that game last week, by the way, against Tampa Bay. Ron Rivera can now sleep easy that he is not the worst coach in his division, which is mind-numbing because he is probably the second worst coach in football. But thank you, Greg Schiano. I can't lay points with Rivera on the road. He was better against the Giants, even went for and fourth down a couple times, which was refreshing. But no, thank you. I don't have a lot to say about this game, to be honest with you. I like the Panthers a little bit more than most, but their record in close games is so bad under Rivera that I'm not going to lay points with them at all. No way.
You'd have to be a sick person to really care much about this game, to be perfectly honest. The next game up is a rematch of Super Bowl XII. Denver looking to get some revenge here. 4-0 Broncos at the 2-2 Cowboys. It's the A-team for CBS of Nats and Sims on this one. Denver is laying 9 up from 7 originally. I'm staying on Denver. It's not that long of a trip for them here. I don't think Dallas is going to be able to keep up. And, if any team was going to be an exception to what you said about the 4-0 teams here, Kyle, I'd have to believe that it's Denver.
Channeling Magic Johnson for a third time in this podcast, there are two sides to this game. The right side, betting-wise, is clearly Dallas. I mean, anytime you can get a team, and they're not a terrible team. By the way, it's funny that every year everyone says, well, Dallas, same old Dallas, going to be 8-8, 9-7. Well, you know what? Same old Dallas is going to be enough to win the NFC East this year, I think.
Yes.
That said, and I think we talked about this, I thought I talked about this with you last week, or it was just with a buddy off air, betting against Denver makes for a miserable viewing experience. It's just not fun. And because they're going to win, they're going to put up a ton of points, you're going to ask yourself the whole game, why did I do this? So I'm passing. Denver's the opposite of Jacksonville. Jacksonville is unbackable. Denver, you just can't play against them right now. I mean, I said before the year, no way they matched last year's 13-win total. I think they're going to. I mean, Peyton Manning may or may not be human.
Yeah, it looks like a cyborg at this point. A team that we thought was a team full of cyborgs, perhaps, the San Francisco 49ers, they're at home Sunday night against the Houston Texans, and what I predicted going into the year would be the Super Bowl preview, not looking so good right now. Both teams 2-2, but San Francisco certainly looking more respectable with their 2-2. They are laying 6.5 in this one. It's been pretty consistent throughout the course of the week. I thought more of Houston coming into the year than did most people, but I can't see them getting off the mat after what happened last week and going into San Francisco and getting a win. I like the 49ers to cover the 6.5, maybe easily Sunday night.
I wish we had more time to talk about this game and rag on the Texans. Believe it or not, because they're 0-4 and no one is going to give them a chance here, I think they might be worth a look plus the points. But for all the reasons you stated, I just don't have the confidence. I will say this one point before we move on to your recommended plays. The tool take of the week is, T.J. Yates won a playoff game. I think he's worth a look. Stop it. T.J. Yates won a playoff game. Don't be ashamed of yourself. You go on national TV and say something like that. And people did, too. People that are paid large sums of money.
You know, there's people who put
not
over Kelly Holcomb.
Bill Plaschke.
Plaschke's a paid troll like everybody on your favorite chat shows on ESPN.
No wonder Yasiel Puig curses him under his breath in a different language.
Yasiel Puig is just a prick in general, but that is funny if he curses him under his breath. The three recommended plays for this week as I take a deep breath and dive into the deep end on these ones here.
You can do it, Ricky. You can do it.
All right. This first one, again, when you start getting into scheduling crap between NFL and MLB, how dime store the results end up being a lot of times. Not that anybody gives a wet crap about this game anyways, but an 11:35 Sunday night Eastern time kickoff at the Ocho Coliseum in Oakland. It's the 2-2 Chargers at the 1-3 Raiders. And looking at this one, San Diego laying 5, down from 6 initially. Terrell Pryor may or may not be good to really go that much in this game. Probably will play. Don't know how healthy he's going to be. Kind of the same thing with McFadden. Although on any random, you know, mid-season game any year, you can pretty much say out about him regardless of circumstances. I do like San Diego to cover the 5 in this one. I think they got a lot of momentum coming off that win. I didn't think they'd beat Dallas last week, but they're showing me something here. They really are, and I picked against them with Philadelphia, and they may be one of these teams, again, that's doomed. Every time you pick them, they're going to let you down. Every time you pick against them, they're going to show up. So far, they're fitting that pattern. We'll see if they let me down. Road favorite Ricky says, take the Chargers late to 5, late Sunday night.
So you like those road favorites, huh? Also, if Matt Flynn plays, if he winds up, I'll be paying attention to this one on Sunday. If Matt Flynn plays, do we smell the late night bailouts? Okay, here we go. The old handicapping axiom. But I can't get involved in this game. I'm not taking Oakland. Like I said last week, I actually went against Oakland as a home dog last week. I actually never thought I would say this all year. They're a bit overrated. The Chargers were very clearly underrated coming here. I didn't think much of them at all. But, you know, Mike McCoy, isn't Ken Whittingham your boy, the offensive coordinator there now?
I believe so. Look at the job
doing. They've done a great job so far. San Diego, I kind of feel bad for them because they're better than expected, but they really have no chance to make the playoffs with Denver and Kansas City. Both likely to win, you know, at least 11 games.
That's true. I mean, there is the second wild card, but that puts him in a hellacious brawl with a number of other teams, and I wouldn't be holding their breath if I was them. So that's the first of my recommended three plays here, my big three. The second of which, the 4-0 Chiefs at the 3-1 Titans. Who would have ever figured, again, a combined 7 wins out of 8 possible between these teams coming into the season? You talk about the big surprises.
Wow.
In looking at it, this is one where, again, I would stay far away from this one as far as a recommended play were it not for the fact that the very surprising Jake Locker and how he's played thus far this year. He's going to miss several weeks. Ryan Fitzpatrick going against the Chiefs with the momentum that they've had. I don't think the Tennessee defense is going to be enough in this one. I like Kansas City covering the 3. They started laying 3.5 at the beginning of the week. It's 3 right now. I like the Chiefs laying the 3 on the road.
Road favorite Ricky, huh? No way. There's no way to get back on track and laying those points on the road, huh? Oh, boy, Ricky, we got to have a talk. I'll say
it
that.
It hasn't bit me in past seasons, and in fairness, there have been a lot of other games where I've gone poorly on this year. It was actually a road dog that was most heartbreaking to me last week with Arizona. It was a home favorite, I should say. Arizona, the road dog, taking me out. I've had a number of games where it looked like I was going to cover, and then something happens, you know, later on here. We'll see if that's the case. This could be a field goal battle with the defenses involved, so that's probably the best chance for a yoink in me is if it ends up going 1 or 2 points here, but they're my pick. I do like the Chiefs.
I'll say this. This is the one road favorite this week that I guess I would be comfortable with just because I can't make a case for the home dog Tennessee here. You talk about the change at quarterback, Not by choice, but out of necessity. Jake Locker and this Titans defense, which I'm glad you mentioned, both surprisingly good. But, you know, I think Tennessee goes south for me. You talk about these two, both teams are surprising here, if I can get the toilet paper on my mouth. Tennessee's going to go south, I think, with the injury. It's only predictable. And I'll say this, Kansas City, after this week, their next game's all at home, Oakland, Houston, Cleveland. Kansas City could be 8-0 this year.
They could be.
Wrap your mind around that.
Last season's win total by midseason. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the rare instance, and it's funny because I went with it, and it was the only reason I was nervous, where the trendy pick to be the most improved team in the league is actually going to come through. I mean, it was funny. You had a 2-win team with a Vegas projection of like 7.5. I think they even bumped it up to 8 by the end of the preseason. People are like, whoa, that's asking a lot. And they're going to make good on it. The books are going to lose a lot of money on that future because everyone bet the Chiefs over the win total before the year, and, man, they're going to fly over 8. I'm telling you, this team, looking at the schedule, because remember, they have a last-place schedule, they could win 12 games. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now. They haven't even played Oakland yet, and they get them tonight.
Yeah, the Cleveland Indians in September think that Kansas City has a very soft schedule.
Yes.
Well, that brings us to our Monday night game, which rarely is my lock pick for the week here. My 1,000-star gold plate of the lock of the millennium for NFL Week 5 falls in this game, the 2-2 Jets at the 1-3 Falcons, and Atlanta is laying 9.5 in this one, up from 7.5 initially. I think I'm going to end up being a week late on this. I thought last Sunday night was going to be a get-well game for them against New England. Now true desperation sets in, and against a rookie quarterback who clearly looks like a different guy on the road in Geno Smith, I think Atlanta just absolutely waxes that ass on Monday night. The 9.5 may not even be in question by halftime. I think this is going to be a big, big blowout. Falcons are my lock for the week.
I've talked too much so far. I can't make the case for the Jets. The Falcons probably will win this game big. We saw a dome team win huge last Monday night. That said, not a buyer in Atlanta long term, but for this week, they probably will look like the Falcons of old.
I understand that. Yeah, they're going to have their backs up against even a 2-3 coming out of this. It's looking like the fight for the top spots in the playoffs in the NFC. They all already have next to no margin for error. They'll just have absolutely none if they're 1-4 because they don't have the luxury of playing in the NFC East where, again, you can't rule out 7 wins could get you in the playoffs coming out of that division. It'll probably take at least 8. But you couldn't rule it out as bad as that division has been at this point. But, again, a lot of unpredictability in the first quarter of the NFL season. Kyle, again, you and I are in very good company as far as not being at our usual levels to this point in time. In my case, that's a tremendous understatement. But, again, looking to get it turned around. And, it's going to be a very fun, very exciting slate of games this week. And it'll be interesting to see how we do.
Yeah, and, maybe next week we'll be able to kind of take a review, take a look at the first quarter of the season. We'll be past the first quarter mark. We'll have 5 weeks of play, and who knows? Maybe I'll stop by, and we'll be able to do an extended FDH Lounge next week. I'll have to check my schedule. I would love to do that, and maybe we'll be able to find some time for that.
Excellent, and I've been apprised that we're supposed to be having an NFL season in progress, maybe first quarter of the season, first third of the season, whatever it ends up being, as I'll just tease this here. With recent lounge guest and former CFL player, he's known for other things, though, the total package Lex Luger. So possibly you'll be able to join us for that discussion as well. I know I'll be on for that, and in addition to our weekly discussions. So always great breaking down football on the FPH Lounge with you, my friend.
Can't wait till next week, Ricky. Until then, God, I hope you do better, is all I can say.
It would be hard to do worse. We'll see if this historic schneid can come to an end. Hold your breath for me, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk again here next week on the FDH Lounge.
See you, Ricky.